Well, you're listening to Stages, and we have the wonderfully gorgeous, enigmatic Sheridan Harbridge on the line to have a chat about the Sugar House, which is opening this evening at Belvoir Theatre. Welcome to Stages, Sheridan.
Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, always a pleasure to have you. We're a regular guest of ours, and it's so great to hear what's going on with you. So tell us a little bit about The Sugar House. Now, this is Alana Valentine's written it. She writes kind of verbatim. She calls it close theatre. What's this story based on?
This one's not a verbatim piece, actually. It's actually quite autobiographical to her. Well, as a starting point, it is based on sort of parts of her childhood and teenagehood, and also her own grandfather who worked at the CSR sugar factory in Piemont. But it's really sort of like that's the launching pad. It begins in Piemont in the 60s when it was an industrial area full of working class people who had all, you know, their parents had worked in those, there was an abattoir there. It was a really pretty filthy area in terms of the industry, the toxins they were sort of pouring into the water. But it was a very vibrant community, and a lot of sort of the generations are still there. And the show really uses Piemont as sort of a allegory of Sydney, where it kind of decimates the past and rebuilds and doesn't want to remember what used to be there. So if you go to Piemont now, what's left of the sugar factory are these strange apartments, and they just sort of leave bits of the machinery sort of around in parks as sort of a, here's a plaque, this is what we once were. But it follows that one particular family, the McCready family, through from the 60s to 2007, and really focuses on the matriarch, June, that's played by the amazing Chris McQuaid, and her daughter, and then her daughter, which is me, and I go from 8 to 47 in the show, which a huge challenge, but really, really enjoyable. And it really tracks the pressure that's put on Narelle, my character, to transcend the working class, to sort of push the family out of this very, about the shame of being poor, really. So it sounds very serious, but it's also deeply funny because real life is deeply funny. They're sort of one of those families that just the way they love is hard. You know, they're always like really picking at each other, and showing love is really making fun of each other, which I think people recognise a lot when they watch the show. But it's so much about the shame of the working class and Sydney's want to sweep that under the carpet. And I think a lot of us come from working class backgrounds, but we've sort of easily slipped into the middle class, and now our working class sort of past is just a kind of great story. And Alana's really picking that apart to say, what have we left behind by moving away from that so easily in the last 20 years? Yeah.
So is it also about that community and what community means to belonging as being a place? And also, is it sort of saying, therefore, that that we are trying to get rid of community in a way?
I think so. Yeah. I think what happens to my character by being so, you know, the family so desperately making her get education, move out of that working class, is she doesn't really know who she is by the end. And especially when, you know, as the play travels 40 years and she loses members of the family, as each one goes, she's like, well, who do I belong to? You know, I've worked so hard to not be in Piemont, that when everyone is gone and Sydney is a completely changed place and everything she grew up around, all the buildings are gone, she doesn't know who she is or what she is or what she got up and out from. And that's kind of the question of the play. Like, if you try so hard to leave your past behind, who are you when it is all gone?
And so because she's going over such a long period of time, what else is sort of going on like, you know, you're saying that the represent the family or this MacCready family is a particular, you know, representation. Is it, you know, corruption and everything else in industry and so yes. It's, yeah.
There's a great through line of the police corruption that was in Sydney during that time and how the working class really copped the brunt of that because criminals and the cops were sort of two sides of the same coin and the working class really suffered for that. And it also follows the through line of the hanging of Ronald Ryan, which is a super, super interesting part of the show where in that first year that the play set, Ronald Ryan is hanged. And that is to the MacCready family indicative of how there is no justice for the working class, that they can go into prison for a different crime and end up murdered by the state. And there's June, the matriarch, embarks on basically a human rights campaign to get hanging abolished. Because she feels that that is the great injustice of being poor, that no one is on your side. You don't know someone, you don't know people to grease the palm to avoid these consequences. And that's a really great through line to in a modern day when it is finally abolished and June's a part of that, which is really, really interesting of her seeing the state of the working class is being at the mercy of the state and having no choices there. Yeah.
How is the director Sarah Goods treating this visually or with the designer, the team, Michael Hankin and etc. How is it, you know, transpiring yes. over that time period on stage?
They, I think, went through many versions of how to do this, but what they settled on is actually really beautiful because it begins in the sugar factory in Piemont, but Belvoir Theatre itself used to be a tomato canning factory.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah, they've made the set. They've actually based the set on what Belvoir used to look like.
Oh,
before.
That's so smart, yeah.
And it also looks like, in present day, a very modern apartment warehouse that is extremely, you know, anything that you kind of see in Redfern now. So
not for too much longer, but this is all what the play's talking about, right?
Yeah. So it's really clever in that way. So it's done very, it looks quite simple in that they've paired it back to look like a factory, but it's actually matching the bare bones of what the canning factory that Belvoir was used to be. And then uses for all those, there's a lot of different scenes using tables and chairs very cleverly to sort of move through the ages.
So how does your character is there some kind of resolve that you find in where you belong in the world? I mean, and also like go ahead, go.
I don't want to say how it ends, but it is, I think, an unresolvable question in many ways, I think, I mean, like all of us, we're sort of constantly questioning who we are all the time. We get to sort of regular crises in our years of who am I in this moment and who was I and have I become a better person by having more money or more education? And I do think there is I think what you said before about that sort of loss of community that we all have now in Sydney. I think Sydney can be very, I love Sydney and it's glittering and it's beautiful. But I finding community in Sydney is sort of difficult and Narelle goes through all of that. And by the end is still sort of looking for resolve. Mm. Yeah.
She's based this on her own sort of personal story or her grandfather's story. Is it also her own story as well, like her personal story? I know she also worked a lot with the community as well. Down there in Piemont, there were meetings and you know, she spoke to a lot of people and I imagine she has taken that text. So is all the text from words from people?
She's really coy about what is.
Oh, okay, so there's a.
You have to pry out her cold dead body. She never wants the actors to feel things are really reverent or get very literal about things. She really prefers us to take it and launch it as our own story. But every now and then you'll slip a little kernel out of her and be stoked. So we'll constantly, you know, in that first week when she was there with us all the time in the reading, we're like, is that true? And her, she'd try and hide. But I think there's a lot of her story and a lot of the real story of Pierrement in there. But she's, you know, as she always does with her work, and when it's verbatim or not, she does an incredible amount of research and just picks through it to find what she needs. There's a lot about the corrupt sort of police force in there, and I've been reading some books on it at the moment that are really Sydney had such a funny and dark history with the police force, and a lot of that's fed into it. And it so she's taken stories that didn't happen to her family as such, I think, but would definitely have happened to a family like the MacReadies. So there's a lot in there. It's sort of a big stew of truth and fiction, but it's really beautiful. It's a really beautiful, moving show. But I think why it is moving is because the family is so recognisable to people.
And with you in it, I no doubt it's going to be wonderful. And all of your supporting, oh, you know, all of the cast. It's not only you, but Sasha Haller, Lex Marinos, Josh McConville, Chris McKay, Nikki Shields opens this evening. Sheridan, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
The gorgeous Sheridan Harbridge there. And the Sugar House is opening this evening and playing till the 3rd of June.